Since I'm recording this sermon on Memorial Day, I did want to mention, hopefully we're appreciative of the sacrifices of so many in our military services to keep our freedoms. And that was, of course, the purpose of Memorial Day being set aside. And hopefully everyone took time to honor those that gave their all, that we would keep our freedom. Well, last Lord's Day, we began a study of God's law of sowing and reaping. We were looking at 2 Corinthians 9, 6, and 7, and understanding that he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And so we want to be sure we're sowing bountifully. And as we studied God's law of sowing and reaping, we went to Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. Yes, and we began to look at several principles, yes, concerning God's law of sowing and reaping. The first principle we looked at was every seed produces after its own kind. And that stays true, of course, from creation all the way through until the end of time. And principle number two, be not deceived. God is not mocked. It's going to turn out just like God said it would. Principle number three we looked at, every one of us who are accountable before God is either sowing God's seed, sowing to the Spirit, or sowing Satan's seed, and that's sowing to the flesh. So we want to be sure that we're sowing to the Spirit. Now we want to pick back up with principle number four in our study of God's law of sowing and reaping, and we'll do just that in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And surely we all need to be doing just that. Now let me take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street in Martinsville as we're studying God's precious Word in our Bible classes. As we assemble together, we're striving to worship God in spirit, that is, with a proper attitude, but also in truth, in accordance to the New Testament pattern. And you would be very much welcome to join in with us. And something else to mention, we're always glad to answer Bible questions that you may have. We appreciate your comments, positive or negative. And also, if you would like a Bible study, we would really appreciate that opportunity. Now, here's our address again, 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. And our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get back to our study concerning God's law of sowing and reaping. And we're ready now for principle number four. Every one of us that is accountable will reap what we have sown. As we've talked about already, every seed produces after its own kind. Well, just as it is with the physical law, it's the same in the spiritual sense. If we have sown to the flesh, what are we going to reap? We're going to reap corruption, just like the Word of God said. If we've sown to the Spirit, we're going to reap eternal life. And there will be no exception as we stand before God on the day of judgment. So, when one sows to the flesh, he will produce the works, the fruits of the flesh. And when one sows to the Spirit, he will produce the works or the fruits of the Spirit. So what kind of spiritual fruit am I producing? In Matthew 7, notice what Jesus pointed out in the Sermon on the Mount, verses 18 and 19. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. So, and again, we're talking about on the day of judgment, when we stand before the Lord, everyone will reap according to the seed which they have sown and the fruits which they have produced. And we want to be sure that we're sowing to the Spirit, not to the flesh. It's not too late to change if we're not doing so. Notice again Galatians 6, verse 8, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." We better be sure we understand this principle, because it's true. Every one of us will reap what we have sown when we stand before the Lord on the day of judgment. Now, principle number 5. Every one of us, again, who are accountable, will reap more and longer than what we've sown. You know, in the physical sense, after planting a handful of tomato seed in our gardens, well, we're able to grow enough tomatoes to fill bushel baskets. Yes, and look at all the kernels on the corn on the cob. We love to eat that, don't we? And just enjoy that. But notice, you're reaping more than you've sown. Well, this principle holds true in the spiritual sense. Again, and just as it does in this physical sense. After death, there will be an unlimited amount of reaping. Yes, eternal suffering or eternal joy. Now, that's not a difficult choice to make, is it? Every one of us should be wanting eternal joy, not eternal suffering. And it's so obvious. But people, unfortunately, are being deceived. But if we are sowing to the flesh, then we will reap more than the sinful acts which we have sown on the day of judgment when we stand before the Lord. That's what's going to happen. But if we are sowing to the Spirit, we will reap more blessings than we have sown. That's also very true. Notice Luke 6, verse 38. "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." Well, not only in this life, but on the day of judgment, it's even going to be greater. In Acts 20, verse 35, Paul, "I have shown you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." Yes, in this life, that's right. But on the day of judgment, we're going to be blessed if we are faithful before the Lord on that great day. In Acts, Hebrews. Let's go now to Hebrews 6:10. "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." So God's not going to forget that work and labor of love. Again, as we stand before the Lord and give an account, if we're sowing to the Spirit, we're going to reap more and longer than what we've sown. Heaven will be a far greater reward than what our trials and labors here on earth deserve. That's for sure. In Romans 8:18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Do we believe that? How is our life proving that we believe it? Well, hopefully we are understanding that that's very true, and we need to live in accordance to God's word Yes, and look forward to what's going to be revealed. In this life, we can gain a great harvest as we put out our gardens, or if we're a farmer especially, get a nice profit in professions of work. You know, we can profit greatly. Perhaps we're doing really good work. But on the other hand, we can have a great loss as a farmer, certainly from flooding, drought, hail, and other catastrophes, locusts now. But heaven, and this is what we all need to focus on, but heaven will be the greatest goal to gain and also the greatest loss to lose. Now, everyone should say that's exactly right. Of course it is. How difficult it is to picture a spiritual place in our minds while living in a physical world. But, of course, we get a glimpse in Revelation as we study those last several chapters. And heaven is a place of no more, no more death, no more pain, suffering, no more darkness, no more separation. Now, all those things are gone. And we have the glimpse there. But notice, we need to rely on God's word and trust in God's promises, and thus our eternal destiny. Yes, it's either going to be heaven, a real place, if we're trusting God and submitting to his word and sowing to the Spirit, but our eternal destiny will be hell if we are sowing to the flesh and standing before the Lord unprepared on the day of judgment. Yes, that's a real place. Hell will be without God, eternal darkness, torment, and anguish. That's right. That's what the Bible says, not an opinion. On the other hand, heaven will be with God's presence, eternal light, eternal joy, and love. Charity lives on after faith and hope are realized. Are we appreciating heaven, the promise of eternal life? What does our life say? Again, we need to all examine ourselves. So let's notice something else in our study now, and that is purposing our hearts. We'll go back to 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Every man according hath as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. But not only in giving, let us purpose in our hearts, as we should on the first day of the week as part of worship, 1 Corinthians 16:1-2. But also let us purpose in our hearts to sow to the Spirit, to be very determined. Yes, have not all of us been very determined to get a job done, to gain the victory in some type of competition, to accomplish a goal that we've set? Well, what greater goal could we have than eternal life and being with God and all the faithful, being with Christ, our Savior, the Holy Spirit, and all the angels, and all those little babies and children that were safe when they died in the Lord's arms, to be with all of the faithful and the safe. That's something to look forward to. Of course it is. So let's be determined and purpose in our hearts. Well, try to think of a great accomplishment in our lives that we only had half a mind to do it. Well, we probably weren't very successful with half a mind, were we? What has been built? What goals have been accomplished? What battles have been won with only half a heart involved? So therefore, when it comes to serving God faithfully, we should be even more determined than we would for accomplishing anything else. That's a certainty, isn't it? Well, of course it is. We all should know that. God must come first in our lives, or else we'll come up short in obtaining our goal of being with God for eternity. Now, Jesus made it clear in Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Well, where is our treasure? That's what we need to know. Now notice verse 24, still in Matthew 6. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Cannot be done. It's one or the other. Who are we serving? Notice verse 33, still in Matthew 6. This is the Sermon on the Mount. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What are we seeking first? How many people today are only concerned about the here and now, rather than thinking about their eternal destiny? Well, Jesus gave a parable about a foolish farmer in Luke 12, beginning in verse 13. Notice, and one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and goods. And I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But, notice that, but God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. So this parable is given in response to a man who is more concerned about his physical inheritance than his spiritual condition. Does that sound familiar? The foolish farmer here had reaped a great physical harvest in this life, but he was a covetous man. And he was said to be foolish by the Lord because he thought only of his physical wealth, forgetting about his spiritual poverty. That's right. He was spiritually poor. He thought only of this life, but not life after death. That's what we're trying to focus on here and point out. He thought of his ease, but not of his responsibility to his fellow man, and more importantly, to his Creator. But again, what about us? How do we respond to the greatest gift of all, that being the only begotten Son of God? That's the love of God, John 3:16, isn't it? And how do we respond to the greatest gift of all? So we don't want to just be thinking of ourselves and accumulating all these possessions and so forth, being covetous. But let's realize the lesson of this parable and keep our treasure in the right place. Physical blessings should be appreciated, but not become our main focus. Yes, we appreciate our blessings in this physical life, but we need to keep our focus on Jesus. Hebrews 12:1. Barnabas was an encourager, and he exhorted the brethren in Antioch of Syria that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord, Acts 11:23. So that's what we're emphasizing here, is purposing our hearts to remain faithful no matter what, to sow to the Spirit and reap life everlasting. Now, God's love should motivate us all to love him and to serve him faithfully. 1 John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. That's obvious. as we just talked about, the greatest gift of all being the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for our sins, not his. So let's make up our minds to love and to serve God as we should. And that's going to result in sowing bountifully of what? Our money, our time, our talents. And as we purpose our hearts, we can give back to God as we've been prospered, 2 Corinthians 9:7. We can use our time wisely, Ephesians 5:16-17. And we can use our talents to the best of our ability and glorify God, Colossians 3:17. Yes, we can do that, but we have to make up our minds. We have to purpose in our hearts. And by sowing bountifully to God's glory, we're assured of the victory. We cannot lose. Now, our teams may lose in the playoffs. And, you know, sometimes we can end up with a lot of losses in sports. But that's not the situation when we're making up our minds to love and to serve God as we should. We can't lose. And having God's approval is vitally important to our eternal salvation, for God loveth a cheerful giver, the one who has purposed in his heart, who is being faithful, sowing to the Spirit. And so when we give generously, of course, with a cheerful heart to help others, and then they turn and give thanks to God, he's glorified and honored and praised. And are we not being blessed when that happens? Well, of course, notice verses 11 and 12 in 2 Corinthians 9. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. That's what we want to do, isn't it? Yes, we should all say yes. Of course. But let's go back now to Galatians 6, 9 and 10. And notice, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially them who are of the household of faith. So let us not be weary in well-doing. As members of the Lord's church, as we think on sowing bountifully in our service to God, and purposing in our hearts that we're always going to remain faithful in our service and our devotion to God, then what's going to happen? We're going to have the victory. Yes. And what happens when times get very difficult, such as rejection after rejection, after we may feel a lack of success in our work as preachers and teachers of God's word. What are we going to do then? Are we going to purpose more strenuously in our hearts to keep on keeping on? That's right. You know, a number of elders, deacons, gospel preachers, and teachers in the Lord's church have become weary in well-doing because of discouragement. But we don't want that to happen. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Well, have you ever become discouraged while doing the Lord's work? It happens, doesn't it? But let's not, of course, continue in that if we're there now. But, of course, let's strive harder to focus more on those things that are above. Certainly all of us have been disappointed with many of our brethren at various times, but let us remember that being disappointed and being discouraged are two different things. As Jesus was disappointed with his disciples on more than one occasion, but he never became discouraged, did he? We all know the answer. No, he never did, and we shouldn't either. So, is not the key to fighting against weariness and well-doing keeping our eyes focused on Jesus, remembering that God's promises will be fulfilled Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, Titus 1, 2. That's what we should do. You know, another cause of brethren growing weary and fainting is persecution arising from following Christ. That's right. Not only disappointments, but persecution. And so we have to be prepared. As the Jews obeyed the gospel of Christ in the first century, they were often rejected by their families, their parents, who remained loyal to the Jewish tradition. And so this is the context of the following passage as Jesus was preparing his disciples for what was to come. But it would apply to the same type of persecution today. Notice with me, Matthew 10, 21 and 22. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Now notice verses 34 through 39, still in Matthew 10. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Now, do we understand what the Lord said? Well, what does our life say? Are we allowing others to come first over God? Well, that happens a lot. But we better not let it happen with our situation, our family situation. That's right. We want to be prepared for that great day that's coming, knowing that we're going to reap bountifully longer. If we're sowing to the Spirit, we're going to reap life everlasting and the joys of heaven forevermore. But if we're reaping to the flesh, standing before the Lord unprepared, we're going to reap eternal damnation. There's no end. Yes, you reap more, longer, because eternity never ends, as we've studied. So we want to be sure we're prepared for that great day when it comes. We don't know when the Lord will come again or when we take that last breath. The point is to be prepared. And we stand ready to assist you in obeying the gospel. We have to hear the word of God. That's how our faith comes, Romans 10, 17. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, John 8, 24. Repent of our sins, Luke 13, 3 and 5. Make the good confession unto salvation, Romans 10, 9 and 10. And then be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, Acts 22, 16. Of course, Acts 2, 38 and so many others. And then live faithfully, sowing to the Spirit, reaping life everlasting. We thank you so much for listening today.